Like lobotomies, these drugs, I'm talking about the neuroleptic, so-called misnamed antipsychotics, are used to enforce compliance with hospital or social rules, to control the uncontrollable or unmanageable on the wards by making people docile and indifferent to their surroundings. At an inquest into the beating death of an elderly inmate in an Ontario boarding home, I wish I knew the year, it was probably a few years ago, a former social worker actually testified that, quote, the residents were drugged into mute compliance. The residents were drugged into mute compliance. That's from a social worker. As noted above, psychiatrist Heinz Lehmann, who first introduced chlorpromazine in Canada in the early 1950s, described this drug. This is a drug pusher, psychiatrist. Quote, a pharmacological substitute for lobotomy. This is 1953. He writes a research paper. Are you proud of it? This damning insight has not stopped the marketing of such lobotomizing drugs as medication or chemotherapy for all kinds of mental illness, I should say alleged mental illness, and for millions of vulnerable people, in particular women, children, the elderly, poor, the unemployed, people of color. Now for the major effects, so-called side effects, but these are direct effects. Lethargy, nightmares, difficulty thinking, emotional dullness, fainting, blurred vision, eye problems, oculogyric crisis, that's the eyes stuck upwards, excessive salivation, drooling, vomiting, constipation, skin rash, stoppage of menstruation, impotence, greater risk of epileptic seizures, hepatitis, liver disease, and granulocytosis, lowered white blood cell count, which results in having more infection, paralysis of intestines, heart problems, low blood pressure, dystonia, sudden uncontrollable painful muscle cramps and spasms, spasmodic torticollis, turning head to one side involuntarily, opisthotonus, arching of the back, akathisia, severe restlessness, pacing, akinesia, zombie effect, Parkinsonians, a mask-like effect, tardive dyskinesia, neuroleptic malignant syndrome, sudden death. What you just heard is from the literature, not from Don White's. Thank you. Very fast, one of the major and one of the most serious destructive effects, neurological disorders directly caused by the neuroleptics is tardive dyskinesia. Tardive dyskinesia is a common, grotesque, and tragic disease caused by the neuroleptics and, well, it's mainly the neuroleptics, but I understand, and possibly other drugs. I think they found that the antidepressants can cause it too, in some cases. Its presence always indicates brain damage. Tardive dyskinesia. TD, for short, is a series of permanent neurological disorders. It's been graphically and accurately described in these terms. Quote, this is from Dr. Caligari's drugs, which is Dr. Caligari's a pen name for Dr. David Richman. I think it's okay to give his name out, and he's published a number of times and a friend of the movement of psychiatric survival. This is a direct quote from a doctor who's investigated the neuroleptics. Quote, to describe TD, it is marked by abnormal, rhythmical, involuntary muscle movements, most often the mouth, tongue, face, and jaw. This condition can result in problems sitting, walking, breathing, talking, and chewing. TD muscle movements usually last 5 to 8 seconds, are repetitive and arrhythmical, and often make the person look strange and spastic. Mouth movements can involve sucking, smacking, and puckering of the lips, puffing of the cheeks, blowing and chewing motions. facial tics and grimacing are commonplace. Speech can become garbled. A grunting type or breathing patterns, at times quite loud, can also develop. There can be twitching or jerking of the head and sometimes of the entire body. Uncontrollable finger movements, foot tapping, and other unusual movements are frequently observed, and the damage may also involve problems of lowered intellectual functioning, apathy, indifference, and dementia. Okay, I'm going to go to the antidepressants now. Which is similar. Yes, what?
May I just say something?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I think there's a couple of other things with the antipsychotics that are worth mentioning. One is that there's good literature now that shows that it actually shrinks your brain.
Gets rid of your brain matter. Yes. Thank you for that.
And that, I've just been reading this stuff. Yeah. Number two, it shortens your lifespan by 20 to 25 years. That's another good one. And I noticed that the FDA has now required the monographs be updated to include psychosis as a side effect of the neuroleptics, which is ironic. In the same way that we'll hear about the antidepressants.
All right. Very, very good points, Julie. But yes, that is right on point. That it does cause the brain to literally shrink. And I call the psychiatrist shrink, so that makes that seems to fit. Psychiatrists are to give you stuff that shrink your safe and effective medication that shrinks your brain. The antidepressants are depressing. Their main targets are women and anyone else who has the misfortune of being labeled depressed, bipolar, or suicidal. Some of the better-known antidepressants described in Canada and the U.S. are Elavil, Desiral, Cyniquan, Tafrinol, Nardil, but I should also add the new SSRI, serotonin substance, or re-update, blah, blah, blah. The newer antidepressants like Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft, Effexor, Luvox, Well, Lutrin, Celexa, and Remeron all frequently cause mania, agitation, aggression, suicidal ideas, and impulses. In other words, they trigger violence. They trigger violence, agitation, aggression, suicidal ideas, and impulses. These are some of the common adverse effects. Now, in the time I have, I'm not going to list them all. But you will see maybe an overlap between the effects caused by the neuroleptics and the effects caused by the antidepressants. And guess what? It's not surprising, because the chemical structure of the antidepressants, particularly the so-called newer ones, is very similar to the neuroleptics. I think Bregan and others make that point. Sedation, drowsiness, difficulty thinking, headaches, dizziness, poor vision, poor concentration, nightmares, memory problems, extreme restlessness, sexual problems, mania, delirium, seizures, fever, strokes, heart attacks. I'm not about to start on an antidepressant, thank you very much. I don't get depressed that much, except I get mad as hell. I'll try to channel that and mention in the little time I have that I want to mention a few deaths that we know about, because there have been inquests into drug-related deaths in Ontario. In 2007, some of you may have heard of the death of Ashley Smith, who was transferred 17 times in 1 year in the criminal justice system in Canada, and who died after being sexually assaulted and drugged inside a prison in Ontario. And guess what? There's been no inquest, so there's a cover-up. So the question is why? I think her parents are suing, and good for them, because it's going to be an uphill battle. Kulme Agane, a young man from Somalia who was allegedly charged with trying to steal a car or something. So he ended up in Oak Ridge, and that's one of the worst places in Penetine Machine Mental Health Center, just north of 70 miles. This is in 2009, and while he was locked in solitary confinement, the guards drugged him. He wasn't violent, he was just, and he died on 80 milligrams of a neuroleptic. Okay, the last death that some of you may have heard about, there was an inquest here in Toronto, Sarah Carlin, 18 years old, going to Toronto Western, a bright student, very popular and so forth. So she was in a funk, I guess, and won as a sophomore at Toronto Western, which is not unusual, and her parents recommended that she see a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist recommended Paxil, an antidepressant. And within a few weeks, she hung herself. Well, on Paxil. The doctor, sworn to do no harm, the Hippocratic Oath, to do no harm, did not warn her about that, even though Health Canada in 2004, 4 years earlier, had sent out a warning that Paxil can trigger suicidal ideas. And the doctor didn't even warn her. The same thing happened with Tucker Gomberg, who is one of the most outstanding environmental activists. And 2 weeks after, he was on Remeron, another so-called SSRI antidepressant, without warning. He didn't warn him, and so he jumped off the Halifax Bridge. The suicide warnings of antidepressants have been out, everybody, for over 7 years. The Health Canada warning, which doesn't go to you, but goes to doctors and pharmacists, I don't even think it's in the package insert, but it may be now, has been out, though. I mean, it's in the air, it's in the literature. Why the doctors are not warning people about the risk? When you go to a medical doctor, you usually, when they prescribe, whether it's an operation or aspirin even or anything, they tell you about the alternatives, usually, right? I mean, they tell you about the effects. Not the psychiatrist. I wish I had a dollar for every time a person who's called me up or emailed me and said, "Don, they didn't tell me because I didn't know." I'd be a very rich man, because the number of times people are not told about it means that the doctors are breaking the law, which is that of informed consent, which is written in the Mental Health Act of Ontario. And I'll just end here. What we need, I propose, and we can get into this, is some reliable, accurate, independently controlled, preferably by psychiatric survivors who've been through the mill and so forth and back, of a hotline. There is no drug hotline for you to call up that is controlled by the experts, by those of us who've been on psychiatric drugs and have done our own research. Because I understand there's a hotline for antidepressants, but guess what? If you call that hotline, it's like a promotional. Well, stay on the drug. They don't talk to you about the risks. You have an absolute right to know what the risks are. You have an absolute right in law, to know what the effects and alternatives are to any drug. So that's one thing. And the other thing I want to end up with is that if you want help to come off psychiatric drugs, it's an uphill battle, but you always should withdraw gradually. One of my best friends has been on drugs for 30 some years, and unfortunately he's hooked, and he's, I think, lost the desire to come off. But that's what they do. They get you hooked on these drugs, which are habit-forming. So it's always important. If someone says, "Well, Don, I want to come off drugs," or "Shango, I want to come off drug, what do I do?" Gradually, and there's some copies of how to come off drugs, but you have to find a doctor who's willing to help you come off. You cannot, if you do a cold turkey, you'll end up back in CAMH or somewhere because it'll make you feel crazy, like you're going through it again. So by all means, even if it takes months, do it gradually, get support from friends. Once your doctor agrees on lowering the dosage, you do it by 10%. It's a 10% formula, according to Dr. Bregan, who's helped a lot of people in the United States come off drugs. I haven't found a doctor in Toronto, unfortunately, but maybe some of you know, who's actually willing to help people come off psychiatric drugs. And I've been around for over 50 or 60 years in Toronto, but maybe there is one.
Yeah, no, I did hear about, I think it's at the Women's College Hospital.
Women's College?
That they have a unit that will help mothers who are expecting to get off
mothers, yes.
Prescription drugs.
That's very important.
I'm not sure if you can confirm it.
Because women who are pregnant, not take any of these drugs, because there have been some tragic cases of newborns born to pregnant women who are given antidepressants like Paxil, have respiratory problems, it doesn't go away, and it's like Russian roulette you're playing. So the last thing I want to end up with is that if you find a doctor, and it's your right to ask him to help you come up gradually, and it's very important while you're doing this to eat well, vegetables and so forth in your diet, and to have friends or a backup group. So if people feel they're freaking out while they're coming off the drugs, and this is common, because these drugs are so powerful that they create a rebound effect. It's like a rubber band. And it starts to contract. That's my lay expression. Anyway, thank you.